I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. We've got a super fun show today. Normally, we talk about all the great things that CBD and hemp can do. Today, we're going to talk about some things that it doesn't do and some problems with some products that are out there. But before we get into that, you guys are always contacting us and asking us, where should I buy my CBD from? Who should I go to? We are super pumped to be partnered with Canvas 1839. You can find them at canvasrelief.com. And stay tuned so you can find out how to get 15% off your order. But Canvas is fantastic. We're super pumped to be partnered with them. They're doing it the right way. I'm going to tell you all about them later on. Today on the show, I am talking to Pat Reynolds of Confidence Analytics. They're a lab out of Washington, and they're quickly becoming a very well-respected lab, complete with their own brand and sticker that they can put on a product to say, not only have we looked at this product, but we will vouch that what they say is on the label is actually in this bottle. You'll hear it in our conversation, but Pat is not a guy that's easily pulled in by fancy sales terms and mumbo jumbo. He oversees a lab that does the testing that we constantly talk about being very important on this show. Now, I went into this interview expecting all kinds of horror stories and doom and gloom to come from somebody who works in this part of the industry, but I was pleasantly surprised at how optimistic and sweet his outlook is even. I'm really excited for you guys to hear this one. This is my conversation with Pat Reynolds, Director of Operations of Confidence Analytics. Pat, I want to welcome you to the Ministry of Hemp podcast. Thanks for hooking up with me. Normally on this show, we like to expound the values of hemp and what it can do. But today, we are going to talk about the other side, some of the BS, as I understand it.
Yes, there have been quite a number of articles in the media and discussions online about what's on the shelf.
Right.
Are you getting what the label says?
Before we get into all that, can I ask what qualifies you to be the scam buster?
All right. So I work with Confidence Analytics. We're a cannabis analytics laboratory licensed by the state of Washington to provide analytics for adult use cannabis here in Washington state.
Cool.
Been testing cannabis and cannabis products and anything with cannabinoids in it for quite a long time, for 5 years now going on.
And this is just like laboratory testing, basically.
This is laboratory testing. Yeah, you hear about a lot of cannabis labs, and they're actually doing extracts. They're making manufacturing products, but we're actually doing compliance testing for the state, making sure that what is put on the label is actually what is in the product, making sure that there's right. Nasties in there, pesticide testing, microbiological testing, residual solvent testing, all that sort of stuff. That's what we do. That's our stock in trade.
So let me ask you, we know that there's a lot of bunk product out there, obviously.
Yes.
How big of a problem is this, would you say, on a scale, as far as like the whole CBD market, if you will, like what percentage would you guess is total garbage?
So I don't really need to guess because we've actually done
even better. I like that even better.
Yeah. The reason we're having this conversation is because I saw an article on the Ministry of Hemp talking about issues with CBD products. And I submitted some feedback saying, hey, yeah, you quoted an article. We were actually the lab that worked with the people who wrote that article to gather the data for them. They went out and purchased the products.
Right.
And they sent us for analysis. We've done this for three separate organizations at this point. And we have, I think, something like 82, I can't remember the exact number, but 82, 85, certainly over 80 samples analyzed specifically for CBD content and harmful content as well.
Okay.
And we so of those 80 plus samples, about half of them are within 10% of what they say they are.
Okay. 50% is where we're at, is what you're saying.
Yeah. But the other half of them have problems.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
So let's start there. Let's talk about problems. So it's not just like, are you getting what's on the label? That would obviously be the biggest issue. Who's lying about what's in there? What are some of the worst problems that you guys saw when you were started testing stuff?
To be honest, the biggest problem that we have seen is people's inability to do math. As far as, you know, being able to look at a certificate of analysis that you get from a lab such as us,
okay,
and a percentage cannabinoid content or a milligrams per gram figure, and knowing what those figures mean, and knowing how to work with those figures and how to apply them to your product. You know, I mean, the number of times that I've had to explain to people how to take a milligrams per gram, how many milligrams of cannabinoid you have in 1 gram of this product,
right,
and then convert that to a total unit figure. So if you have a 10 gram piece of chocolate,
sure,
and you have 100 milligrams per gram of CBD, then, you know, it's simple math. But that just really seems to escape a lot of people, you know?
yeah. Well, math is hard, right? I mean, that's, come on.
I get it, you know, kind of these people have a lot going on. Look, I guess where I'm coming from is that it's rare that we see people who are out to perpetuate a scam or out to do damage to people or out to pull the wool over people's eyes. A lot of what we've seen is just basic errors in math and lack of understanding of what's going on, you know? I remember one case in particular. I was like, wow, I could fix this problem just by moving the decimal point one place. That's it. All the problems will go away. Otherwise, this thing is 10 times off what it says on the label, you know?
So what are they saying in that position? Where, like, I mean, like, what was the claim? Like, it was like 1,000 milligrams, but it was actually 100 or something? Or, like, what were we talking about?
Yeah, it could have been the other way. I actually disremember right now, and I don't have it in front of me. But it was literally one of those orders of magnitude. You know, what it said on the label was 10 times off what was in the bottle. And whether it's over or under, you know, I mean, nobody wants to be left short, but nobody wants to be overdosed either. You know, that's an issue too. You need to be careful of it.
Yeah, either way is bad. If you think you're getting 100 and you're getting 1,000, yeah, that could knock you on your butt for a while, probably.
It could do. I mean, most of these products are CBD. I don't think they're going to knock anybody down that
hard. Sure.
But that said, there's a lot of, we don't know, there's contraindications with, you know, kind of other pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, or there can be, and we just don't know yet because nobody's had a chance to investigate it, yada, yada.
Right.
And we could go down that rabbit hole too.
Let's go down that rabbit hole for just a second. Are there any, because like you see a lot of, like, other herbal supplements that are thrown into some of these to do different things. This helps you focus. Yeah. This helps you sleep. Are there any that we know right off the bat, like, will invalidate, like, the benefits of the CBD?
Oh, wow. No, I mean, my background is not chemistry.
Sure.
But I don't think there's anything. I haven't seen anything out there that would like neutralize.
Okay.
Anything like that, or just, you know, kind of cancel them out.
So the biggest discrepancy that we're running into right now is what's actually in the bottle, and you just gave us a case where you moved a decimal point to show what was actually in there. What's the worst? What's the biggest discrepancy you've seen with something like that, as far as either over or under? What do you think the worst was?
I think consistently the worst are water products.
Like CBD infused water, you mean?
CBD infused water, because they're always the most off because there's never anything in there. So you know, take that math away. Yeah, if you buy a bottle of water and you can like see through it, there's no CBD.
But there can't be, right? I mean, because what is it binding with?
Yeah, and it's not like you can hide the molecules with technology or anything like that. That's another good one that comes up. A lot of people have responded, oh, well, we use nanotechnology, so we actually make those molecules smaller, so maybe your instruments just can't see them.
That could be, yeah. Haven't thought of that. Super sneaky nanotech. So let me ask you, the term nanotechnology, I am... Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I try to come at this from a very skeptical point of view, and I've always been a skeptic and a member of two skeptic societies and stuff. And I came from a science background as well. A little bit of chemistry went into cooking because, you know, college sucked. But anyway, when we throw the term nanotechnology around in this stuff, does that mean anything? Does it mean anything?
Like, yes.
I know what nanotechnology is, but when it's specifically with CBD.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I don't think it means what people think it means.
Yes.
Traditionally, when people think of nanotechnology, they think of like tiny little molecular machines.
Right. Little robots. Yeah. Like, doing stuff.
Little robots. Yes. And you know, kind of technology. Oh, like, you know, there's a little machine that makes it smaller or something like that. No, it's not. That's not what we're talking about. Nanoemulsions are actually a pretty well-validated method of drug delivery, or medication delivery. And the principle is that by emulsifying the analyte of interest, so the drug that needs to get into wherever it needs to get into, by encapsulating that in some sort of sugar coating or in a liquid, in droplets, in liquids, you can basically shield the analyte of interest from getting attached to the liver, for example, as it passes through. That's what nanoemulsions and nanoencapsulations do.
Keep it from being filtered out of your body, more or less.
They allow the analytes of interest to actually get into your bloodstream and not get caught up in the liver and the kidneys and things like that.
Sure.
So it increases bioavailability is the technical term. That's what nanoemulsions do, is they increase bioavailability.
So the problem with water, like a CBD-infused water, for example, is... there is nothing in the water to infuse it.
If that water was an emulsion, then you would not be able to see through it. There would be something else in there other than the water.
Right. There would be stuff in it, if you will.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, let's say I'm a CBD water company and I send my stuff to you guys to get tested. Check it out. Let me know what you think. And you say, yeah, there's nothing in here.
Yeah.
What happens then? It doesn't get taken off the shelf. It doesn't go away. There's no like governing board that says, oh, well, I heard Pat said your stuff was garbage. What do you think of that? You know?
Yeah.
What happens then? Anything? Or is it just...
We don't do anything as the lab. Again, like you said, there is no governing body. I mean, if the FDA was regulating this sort of stuff, then you could just initiate your recall process.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is the normal course of events. And if we're in Canada, that's what they would do.
Yeah.
A recall process and off you go. But there is no framework for recall processes. There are companies out there who are operating to CGMP standards, and that's where I think this needs to go.
Cannabinoid
manufacture. That's the level of quality assurance and quality control that you need. It's got to be GMP, GLP, that sort of national and international level of standardization and standards. People who are operating to CGMP standards will have a recall process that they can initiate.
Sure.
Whether they will do that on the back of some lab in Washington telling them that they don't know what they're doing is anybody's guess.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, I there's a guy that I know in town that's actually started doing like a filtered water and stuff like that. And I asked him straight up, I'm like, hey, have you thought about doing CBD infused water? Cause I've seen so many. And he said, yeah, I have. Yeah. There's not a lot of science behind it. And I was like, really? And he didn't really go into it beyond that. But now talking to you, that all makes sense. He's like, we can't, unless we're putting slime in there or something, you know, there's just nothing for it to stick to. And even if we did, you would just pass it right through your body. Like if you just put the powder in there or something and it dissolves, great. You're filtering it right out and it's, you're pouring it in the toilet essentially at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I've seen, you know, kind of people have done sugar powders. Yeah. That you
right.
pour in and you just, and yeah, sure. There's a pale blue color to it after you're done. So that's what's in there kind of thing. And
right.
yes, you've got your analytes of interest correctly encapsulated. And, you know, kind of we test that after we've, you know, added it to the glass of water. And yeah, it's exactly what it says on the tin.
Fair enough.
But that's somebody who has done it right and paid attention to it.
Right.
And done it the right way.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our partner this week, Canvas 1839, centered out of Austin, Texas, which also happens to be the de facto home of Ministry of Hemp because Kit lives there. Canvas strives to make products with the highest efficacy based on proprietary science with the help of their chief science officer and Stanford grad, Dr. Kyle Hamerick's pioneering work in nanoscale biology. Canvas currently offers a relief oil that is crafted with Colorado-grown full-spectrum hemp extract, grown under organic practices to support your well-being in mind and body. Each 1 ounce bottle contains 300 milligrams of CBD, which is 10 milligrams per dropper. Now, they sent me a bottle, and I have to say, normally 10 milligrams of CBD isn't enough for me, but I've really been enjoying it. I've been taking the relief oil in the mornings with my coffee, and I feel like it brings me in for kind of a soft landing as I get to work. I'm focused and I'm awake, but the Canvas relief oil keeps me from my usual ADD morning coffee rush. And it's actually helped with some of the aches and pains that I've been dealing with since I started boxing training again. They also offer a luxurious relief cream that is specifically formulated for optimal transdermal penetration and absorption, which means when you rub it on your skin, it actually goes into your skin. It leaves a very clean skin feel with no residue whatsoever. There's 500 milligrams of CBD in each 2 ounce jar. My wife, who is an aerobics instructor and owns a gym, has been using it, and she loves it. It's become a part of her post-workout shower regime. Canvas is a company that is just doing it right, and that's why we're proud to partner with them. They know they're farmers, they have third-party lab results readily available, and right now, you can get 15% off your order just for being a listener to this show. Head to canvasrelief.com and use the code FRIEND15 and you get 15% off your purchase. I would recommend their starter pack that features the two products they sent me, the relief oil and the relief cream, and both are fantastic. That's FRIEND15, all one word, and of course, I will have a link to canvasrelief.com in the show notes for this episode. Now, back to the show. Which do you think, if you had to pick one, whether it's like tinctures or capsules or food or water, who do you think is doing the worst job right now? Opinion only. You don't have to, you know, I mean, it's just your opinion.
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, people, there's a lot of questions over bioavailability.
Right.
Because it's a question of bioavailability and, you know, kind of how much CBD is available in like an oil-based tincture. Or even an alcohol-based tincture, people throw around figures of around like kind of less than 20%.
Right. I've seen that as well.
Yeah, so for every gram that you intake, only about 0.2 of that gram is actually doing anything for you or getting into your bloodstream, which is where this nano encapsulation technology
right.
has come from. Is, you know, so I mean, yeah, the nanotech stuff like I said, there is value to it as long as people understand it. And to be fair, I have seen people who have put it on their website that said, we make the molecules smaller so they get into your body. But then
we have broken the rules of physics to bring you this product.
I'm like, wow, you shouldn't be selling CBD. You should be getting a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you should travel through time and bring it to our forefathers while you're at it.
But then I talked to the guys on the back end, the guys who actually run the show, and they're like, no, that's just to get the message across. You know, it's like, this is what we're doing. Mm. This is how we're doing it.
Yeah.
And these guys, they had what they said was in there was actually what was in there. So again, they were doing it right. And yeah, they made a choice to explain it that way in a bad science way.
Yeah. Bad marketing, bad science. I mean, and even if you are legit, it makes you look bad to somebody who has any idea what they're talking about. Like someone like you looks at that and just goes, no, that's no.
Yeah. We're going back and forth on this. So,
So you also have found a lot of products that you said had like pesticides and whatnot. And what's the scariest stuff that you found in some of these different things that you've tested?
Scary. As you can tell, I kind of try to downplay the sensationalism a little bit.
Yeah, but I got to get listeners and clicks, man. Come on.
I know.
Tell me about the arsenic. Come on.
there's reasons that there's pesticide limits in place. Some of these compounds really do not do good things to people, like dichlorovos and stuff like that.
Sure, sure.
When you look at the discuss everything in action levels, there's action levels, so above and below a threshold. So your action level is where you need to do some remediation, if you like.
Right.
The action levels for pesticides on just like regular food are so much higher than the action levels for pesticides in cannabis.
Why is that?
Hemp-based products. There's a reason for that, because you don't know what's happening. So traditionally, hemp and cannabis products are combusted.
Right. Yeah?
So you're going to light it on fire or you're going to inhale it.
Yeah.
Right. Via heating a coil or whatever. So that's why the action levels were set so low, is because when you combust something like that, there was one study done this one time by some guys in Colorado.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say about it, but everybody will know about it. It's the Eagle 20 study. And when you combust Eagle 20, it turns it into arsenic, I think.
Whoa. Okay.
Maybe it was cyanide.
Ooh, well, either one no thanks.
You don't want to be inhaling it,
right?
But like I said, that was one study by these one guys one time. I think it comes back to not having the data, not being able to do human trials,
sure,
that sort of thing. But look, let's put it this way. We've tested cigarettes for pesticides, because mm-hmm. when we first got our pesticide testing equipment, our LCMS triple quads, one of our customers actually went out and purchased, different brands of cigarettes and asked us to run those all of them across the board, riddled
really?
With pesticides. Absolutely. Even all of the natural ones.
Of course. Well, those are way better for you though, right? Because they're organic and natural cigarettes, right?
So those are combusted and those are inhaled. And that may explain why people suffer so much from smoking tobacco.
Sure.
There may be some data there, but again, tobacco companies stopped kind of prevented gathering that sort of data. So it's going to be difficult to see from that perspective. But yeah, you don't want to be inhaling it. Now, that said, kind of, do you want to, people say that there's an opportunity here for hemp and cannabis to raise the bar.
Absolutely.
Because having pesticides kind of across the board in our food supply isn't necessarily great. And look, to be honest, just because the action levels are much higher for non-hemp based products, if there's a bunch of pesticides in my lip balm, I don't want to be rubbing that on my lips.
Right. That's not any better. You've just swapped one poison for another, basically, at that point.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just that's a what's the word? That's a very subjective experience or opinion, if you like. There's like very little data to back that up.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, scary. I don't know if scary is the right word, but you do look, hey, you want to pay. Here's the thing. You want to always pay attention to your inputs, and you want your inputs to be as good as they can possibly be so that your product output at the other end can be the best quality. So
when you say inputs, you're literally talking about the hemp that comes from the farm. You want that input.
For any product.
Right.
For any product.
Literally.
Hemp or not hemp.
Yeah. Whether you're making hemp or strawberry jelly or whatever.
Correct.
Cleanest, yes. you can get. So is there anything that we can look for that is a warning sign when we're buying a product, in your opinion? Like from what you've seen that's been sent to you and tested, products that are, it sounds like for the most part, the biggest scam coming across is, look, there's no CBD in this.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can look for, like on a label or a claim that's being made? Is there any red flag that we could see at this point in time?
I don't know about red flags, but I would always recommend that people look for every hemp manufacturer and hemp CBD product manufacturer has a website, and they have, most of them have their COAs on the website.
COA, like lab tests and whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay. So on these lab tests, how do I know what's real? How do I know, like, that just because somebody has lab test results, I don't know where that lab is. I don't know what was sent in. Is there anything that forces people to give real lab results? Can the labs get in trouble or something if it turns out this isn't necessarily real?
Yes. There was a lab shutdown in Oklahoma a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
That was Oklahoma is medical, and they were going to do adult use on the ballot this year, but they have labs. One of them was just done for kind of making up numbers and passing results without actually looking at things. Even here in Washington State, there have been, because look, there's huge incentive for bad actors in labs. I
mean, sure.
The number they want so that they can move product. Yeah. There are bad actors out there that will kind of prey on the lack of education for the consumer,
right?
And kind of like people don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're going to get. They're not going to understand all of this stuff. So I'm just going to say whatever it takes to kind of get my product sold and get that dollar out of their pocket and into mine,
right?
The incentives for honesty aren't really there right now because there is no federal oversight. There's no kind of real regulatory framework to, because that's the stick that people get beaten with.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
The problem then is, you know, if you have somebody who is trying to manufacture products in multiple different states, there's a whole patchwork of laws,
right,
and different action levels and different compounds that need to be tested for, and each state has got its own list of pesticides they test for. In some states, they require different levels for heavy metals and the microbial assay, and there's only two states in the union that will let you add food or let you add CBD food and manufacture it, and they've their own laws, and you know, so it's really hard to be compliant in a situation like that.
It sounds like there's more benefit to not being compliant right now than to actually being compliant.
Right, but yeah, so if you want to, if you're out there and you want to make a quick buck, yeah, sure, now is your time. If you're out there and you want to build a lasting business and a loyal customer base because you want to put good products together and do the right thing for people, then it's really hard for you right now to prove to people that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it seems terrifying. Because, you know, I can say I sent my product to Pat. He loved it. He said it was great. It's all right there. Yep. Gave it the stamp of approval. And people go, cool, who is he? And I go, oh, he's this guy I talked to on my podcast last week. Like, yeah, he's a scientist. Yeah, it was really neat. You know, like, there's no stamp of approval or real bar that says, yes, this is exactly what we're saying it is.
Yeah. So that's interesting that we're talking about this. That's one of the things that we've done at Confidence is we've come up. So what we're talking about is trust marks.
Okay.
Yeah. So you see the non-GMO project.
Right. For example.
On pretty much everything in every store right now. If you put it in your mouth, it's probably, if it's got the word organic on it, it's got the non-GMO.
Right.
And those guys are literally 2 hours up the road here in Bellingham. We've done a thing called, let me see if I can pull it here, see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pesticide tested, sure. With confidence.
Right. So that's basically a trust mark that we have developed here in Washington State for cannabis producers, because right now it's not required to test for pesticides on cannabis products in Washington State. If people come to us and have their product tested for pesticides, we will allow them to put that label on their product when it's on the shelf.
Cool.
And that's become an eye catcher for people when they're in the store. People will actually walk in and say, have you got anything that has been tested with Confidence? And the bud tenders know, oh, yeah, boom, there you go. And it's just a peace of mind thing.
Yeah, it's marketing at the end of the day, but it's good for you guys because you have built something where it said, look, if you're doing it the right way, we will give you this sticker. And for those who can't see, this is an audio podcast. He showed me a sticker. Sure. And if that sticker is there, it becomes a mark of I can trust these guys because they go to a lab that we know we can trust. Unfortunately, not every state has that.
Correct. And that is only for cannabis products. It's not for hemp products right now, although we're looking to expand that program there. But in terms of looking for things where you can trust, The trust marks like that are good things to look for. Other things to look for are industry associations.
Yes, definitely. Because it's harder to get a bunch of people together and lying than it is to find a couple liars. Criminals and crooks!
Right. I hate to attribute malice when ignorance can be an adequate explanation.
That's true. The decimal thing that you said. Math is hard.
But I get where you're coming from.
We just have to be super vigilant, even just with our site, when people are sending us stuff to try or they want it reviewed or they want our thoughts on it or they want to run an ad or they want to talk to me on the podcast. We have to be so careful and we do a ton of research just digging in, like, okay, what are they claiming? Where are their lab results come from? Where are they growing? That state, like what are the pesticide laws in that state and stuff like that? Because before we're going to say, yes, try this, the Ministry of Hemp thinks it's good stuff. It's scary because like you said, there's too many ways to misrepresent things right now because there is no FDA ruling. No one's looking over it. We are trusting good companies to be good. And luckily there are a bunch, but there's also a bunch of bad ones.
Yes, there. Yeah. And look, as much as I'm kind of trying to deny the sensationalism, I'm not going to deny that there are bad actors out there. There are absolutely people out there looking to make a quick buck. I think a lot of them are kind of finding it's a little bit, the going is getting tougher now that the competition is increasing.
Right.
So hopefully it'll get less. But that doesn't mean that we don't still need to be vigilant. Right?
Sure. So what's the best thing that can happen tomorrow to take these bad actors, to just wipe them out and send them all packing and say, all right, what happens tomorrow? Is it just the FDA saying, here are the rules? You have to get tested. It has to be an accredited lab. You have to have the results, stuff like that.
That would be a huge step in the right direction. I mean, descheduling, obviously.
Of course.
It's the thing that's going to just make all this go away. And descheduling does so much more than make it available. I mean, there's the whole research aspect. There's the whole finance aspect of it. I mean, we all know what the pieces are to make this tick. And that's why the I reckon that's why, you know, kind of the situation has been allowed to get to where it's gotten to. And I mean, the industry is so big, it's exploded. There's so much money being made.
Right.
And being transferred around the place. That's why it hasn't been just shut down summarily. Like I said, there's just too much money involved. So hopefully people are going to step up and start making some rules that that make sense, and let's not have another situation like we did with the USDA creating a set of rules that said, you know, kind of your hemp crop needs to be certified as being less than 0.3% THC, and that needs to be done by a DEA registered lab.
Yeah, just
ugh. So all the like states are running hemp programs go to their cannabis testing labs and say, do you want to do this for us? And we're like, yeah, sure. Can we get a DEA registration? And the DEA says, no, you're handling a controlled substance.
Yeah,
cannabis.
It's brilliant.
You're not getting a license. So it's like, well, the USDA made these rules. And
well, to be fair, the USDA, I think they just kind of like shouted them out into the air, you know, before, without even thinking about it, from what it seems. Because the DEA was the first one to show up and be like, we don't have time for that. Thanks. So, like, you guys.
Some of the conversations were like, yeah, could you not have talked to us first?
Right. Like, maybe that's something we could mention. I don't know. So you're kind of the guy behind the curtain with this stuff, and you seem to be still very hopeful and optimistic. I mean, end of the day, does that mean you're seeing more good products coming in being tested that actually represent what they are than bad?
Yes. Yeah.
That is
absolutely.
God, that fills my heart with joy. That's good.
From a cannabis perspective, for sure. Because I mean that's the bulk of our business is cannabis products here in Washington State. We do some testing for like I said, we've done some of that kind of media project testing. And we have a few CBD companies that are testing with us. And you'll see their COAs on their website and stuff like that. But certainly, I mean, from the state of cannabis products and edibles and tinctures and things like that, when we were analyzing them 4 years ago compared to the sort of things that we're analyzing today, night and day difference in the quality of the
wonderful
products,
news.
The homogenization, the overall quality, the packaging, everything is just getting better because people are learning how to do it right, and people fundamentally want to do things right. That's what I believe.
I think on the other side, like, there's more education behind it too, where like the people that are buying it are actually looking into things now because they did get ripped off once or twice and they're not doing that again, you know?
Mm-hmm. I had a guy, we sponsored a golf tournament a couple of years ago. One of the stewards on the course came up to me once he realized who I was and what we did. And he was like, so, hey, what do you do when, cause myself and my wife, we like to get the edibles. And what do you do when you have one that's great and then you have another one that just makes you crazy and it's the same thing? I'm like, you need to find another brand.
Right. Yeah.
Because both guys don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So people are starting to, once it comes out from under the covers and people realize that there is recourse and they can go back and complain about these things.
Yeah.
Then the quality starts to get better because nobody wants to deal with the hassle, right?
Sure.
So it actually becomes less trouble to do it right.
I like that. It's less trouble to do it right. I like that a lot. That's a good thing to live by. Thanks to Pat for coming on the show. He was so fun to talk to, and he's one of those rare guests that came and found me after reading an article we had about CBD scams on ministryofhemp.com. And of course, I'll have a link to Confidence Analytics, more about what they do there, and the link to the story we wrote about CBD scams in the show notes for this episode. That brings us to the end of another episode. I want to say thanks again to Canvas for partnering with us. to bring you hemp education like this. And if you want to help bring hemp education to the people, head over to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. It gets you access to podcast extras, to early articles, and all kinds of other stuff that's only there for you guys, our patrons. And I cannot stress how much it helps us in spreading the good word of hemp education. If you can't get enough Ministry of Hemp in your life right now, you can follow us on all our social media at Ministry of Hemp /Ministry of Hemp and check out ministryofhemp.com, where we've got an update to our best CBD gummies of 2020. This is the fall edition. And we've got a great video about CBD versus CBG. It's a different thing, and we're going to talk about it on the show soon. At Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is a better world for everyone, so you can find a full written transcript of this show in the show notes for this episode. I have got to get out of here, though, and I like to do so the same way every week. I like to say, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will ya? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.